We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and you're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast. We want to thank you for tuning in today, and we want to start off this day by saying thank you to Jits Concrete. We had some work done while I was away, and that has come out very, very well. Our facilities are now a lot easier to access from the parking lot to our sanctuary and move from sanctuary to fellowship hall. And so we just want to say thank you to them for all that they have done. And so if you need any concrete work, if you're considering having some concrete work done, if you want to come and check out some of their work, come to one of our worship services. We can show you their handiwork, and if you want to get a hold of them, it's 536-5804. 536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast. And they did all of that in some really, really intense heat too. And so I just cannot recommend them highly enough. So thank you to the Anderson family and Jits Concrete. So we want to take you to the Word today. Do want to let you know that we are having our vintage service today at 11. Our piano player is gone on vacation for a few weeks, and so we might be singing a song or two a cappella. But for the most part, it's going to be a time of prayer and Bible study. Today at 11 o'clock, we're working through the book of Isaiah. So if you'd like to come out for that, be a part of it, we would greatly encourage that. We would welcome you, love on you, share the word of God together, and break the bread of life. Tonight, our boys and girls ministry is not meeting. And so we have a special activity with them. And so there's not going to be anything taking place tonight, but we will get back in touch with you, letting you know when that resumes, which will be a week from Wednesday. So I do want to take this opportunity to invite you out, say happy Independence Day to everyone that is out there. We are going to be celebrating our independence, and I'm going to be sharing a message this week because our society is redefining what freedom means. It's taken on a completely different context, liberty and freedom. And I'm going to take you back to the original meaning of that, and you know that it is the heart of Jesus to set the captives free. He came to set the captives free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. But it is free from the tyranny of our sin nature. And so we're going to be preaching on that on Sunday. If you would like to come and join us, we will be meeting Sunday morning at 10:30. We just had a couple of great events here this last week. We had a camp fundraiser, a spaghetti dinner, and our kids ministry did a phenomenal job. If you've ever been to a bad spaghetti dinner where, you know, they just kind of boiled the noodles and then they threw some just generic spaghetti sauce on there, you would have been greatly disappointed if that was what you were expecting this last week, because they served a four-course meal. It started with salad, it started with soup, then an entree and dessert, and we had a number of people that came out and were able to raise the funds that we needed to be able to send our kids to camp, where they are going to have a one-on-one personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And it is going to make a life-changing difference in their lives. So we followed that up again the next night with a men's banquet. And guys, you know, we didn't spend much on decorations. In fact, I think I spent zero on decorations. I don't consider a tablecloth a decoration. So, and those came from the dollar store. But what we did serve, and if you're not part of our men's ministry, we value our men. So we served New York strips. We had salad. We had appetizers. We had dessert. It was just an awesome, awesome time that we had together. So that's the type of men's ministry that we have. We had some prizes. Some people won some gas cards, Home Depot cards. What was the other one? Outback Gas and Home Depot. So some men were very happy that they came, and we want to thank them for being a part of Merit Assembly of God. Let's get into the Word of God today. We are in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts. Yesterday I was in the dental hygienist chair, and a young lady said that she had just been through the book of Acts, reading in that, and had been watching the AD Bible program on NBC, and had just rewatched that again, and said that they had Hollywooded it up some. And I shared with her, I said, yeah, I generally don't watch those because I had a bad experience when I was a child. So here is more proof that I am not perfect, okay? If you weren't perfect at the beginning, you can't be perfect now. So when I was a teenager, I went to youth group, and the youth pastor was testing the youth group's Bible knowledge, and they said, how many of you know what Moses' first miracle was? And my first response, you know, I raised my hand and went all Horshack and Welcome Back, Cotter, you know, and so they said, okay, what was Moses' first miracle? And I said, he saved his mother from being run over by that pyramid. And that's because I just watched the Ten Commandment movie. And it was at that point in time that I learned that people would put things into movies that weren't written in God's Word. And so ever since I got burned on that, I've been very, very cautious. And so there are a lot of people right now who want to talk about the Bible and as if they are experts on it, and yet they don't even partake of it. They don't even read it. They don't study it. They just have an opinion, and they try and make the Bible say what their opinion is. So let's look at Acts chapter 15. Again, you know, we talked yesterday, and so I'm just going to start in verse number 16 with the reading. And it says, after this I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins. I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it pleased the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren, to the brethren who are of the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia. Greetings. Since we have heard that some went out from us who have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell. So we're going to stop the reading there for just a moment. And it says, here in verse number 17, we've talked about this. It is very important that we understand what the purpose of God is in everything that he does. Okay. In verse number 17, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things. God works in people's lives so that they will seek him, that they might know him, that they might know the truth, and the truth would set them free. That is everything that God wants to do. He knows that apart from him, we can do nothing. Apart from him, there is no salvation in no other name than the name of Jesus. And so God works in people's lives so that they will seek him and that they may know him. If you read through the book of Ezekiel, I encourage you to take note of how many times a phrase like this or this exact phrase shows up. Then you will know the Lord. Then you will know the Lord. And in studying that, you will find that God is willing to employ many, many methods so that there will be a realization in the hearts of men and women of how desperately we need to know the Lord. You can start by being still and knowing the Lord. You can start by being trained up as a child and knowing the Lord. If you were not raised in that atmosphere, you can decide to break that chain and that cycle itself so that you can know the Lord. You can read the Word of God, and a desire to know the Lord can be birthed in you. You could have a chance encounter with God, as it might seem. Although God does not have chance encounters, he does things intentionally, like he did with the woman at the well in Samaria. You might seek him out the way that Nicodemus did, or you could choose the path that others have chosen, and that is be stubborn and see what life looks like when you do not seek God. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33 that if we will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then everything else, everything we have need of, will be added unto us. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. Be one who personally seeks the Lord. Be one who encourages other people to seek the Lord and welcomes people. You know, it is always exciting to us when we see people come from all various regions and backgrounds, because when we see what God has done in our life, if we become myopic, we think that that's the only way that he operates. But instead, I could tell you about some people in our church that have testified about the various backgrounds, trials, and struggles that God has brought them out. And now we are united in seeking the face of God. God wants people from every place, every background, every sin from the fallen nature. He wants all people from all of those places to know the goodness and the grace of God. Remember, when Paul wrote, he wrote and he said, "And such were some of you." It's very important there. Were, that is a past tense. I do remember my English. I actually taught English for a little bit. You might not think that that is a reality from some of the things that I say, but I actually did teach English as well as some other subjects. And as a result of that, I understand what past tense means. It means that it was part of our past, but it isn't part of our present, and it's not going to be part of our future. So, We need to understand that it is God who says those things, that he wants men to seek the Lord. So James goes on here, and he says, "Known to God from eternity are all his works." God knows the things that he's done. By the way, he has prepared works for you and I to do specifically, and he prepared those from before the foundations of the world. Wouldn't it have been interesting? Because it says that Jesus is the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Would you agree that the Bible talks about that? It says that specifically. Thank God. He was slain from the foundation of the world. In the same manner, God has prepared us, for us, works from before the foundation of the world. Now, it would have been tragic had Jesus come to earth and not done the work that was prepared for him to do before the foundation of the world. My salvation would not have been attained. The price would not have been paid. If Jesus had said, you know what, I'm not going to do your will this time, God, I'm going to do my will, then the salvation of humanity, the salvation of the Gentiles, the price that it, all of that would have been left undone, and there would have been billions of people to pay the consequences for it. With that same importance, I want to tell you that there are people who are going to be ministered to when you and I realize the precious gift of responsibility and assignment that God has for us to do. I take my responsibilities very seriously. I want to make sure that this broadcast is ready to go over the air. I want to make sure that things are prepared before people show up for a worship service. So we're doing all sorts of preparation because we know that there's an assignment that we have, and we do not want to be charged by God as being negligent of our duty. So I want to encourage you that you make a matter of prayer and say, God, what is it you would have me to do in the body of Christ? Because I know that you've got something for me to do that is going to help people to seek the Lord. And so, let me take you to verse number 19. Verse number 19, therefore I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God. Okay? So, what James is saying is, okay, we've seen what happened with Cornelius, and now there are some people that Paul and Barnabas are ministering to, and they are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And so what we have a responsibility, and that is to not make their pursuit of God more challenging. We need to facilitate their ability to seek and grow in the things of God. That's the responsibility that we have. And so when you see this, and especially in the contemporary context, when we see what is going on in America, if you just stop at that point in James' discourse there, you would think that because God is now moving among the Gentiles, that all of the standards are gone. Remember, there were people who were trying to drag the Gentiles back into a legalistic mindset through observing all of the mandates of the Levitical law. That's what they were trying to do. And now you've got people who came from a different background. Can I tell you that your culture is not kingdom? Our culture here in America is not, the kingdom of God doesn't reflect the American culture. The American culture should adapt to reflect the nature of the kingdom. And so what happens a lot of times is many people bring their culture into the kingdom and expect that the kingdom is just going to assimilate that, and that the kingdom will adapt to their culture. That's not the way it goes. Our culture adapts to the kingdom. God never changes. And so James writes and he says, we are not here to cause trouble for people. I want you to know that on this broadcast, and we're going to be touching on some things in this broadcast and the next broadcast, and as long as it takes, we are going to be touching on things that may be controversial. That's okay. I promise you that when I talk about it, I am going to be sharing it with a heart of love. I'm going to be sharing it with a goal of encouraging you to seek the Lord. And that's everything that we're here to do. So James writes, we're not here to trouble those among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain. And here's where he says, there are certain things that we see that God is already saving them. God is already establishing covenant with them. God is already pouring out his Holy Spirit upon them and imparting the gifts of the Spirit to them. So we don't need to trouble them with all of these details, but there are some things that we need to write to them to let them know that they are non-negotiable. Okay. And I'm going to help to explain some of this to you here, as to why those things were specifically written, that they were important. It says, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. An idol is anything that is taking the place of God. It is something that has been established, and it is either being set up alongside God and being worshipped alongside God, or it has usurped his position entirely. Now, if I can tell you that the New Testament gives it an even more basic definition of idolatry, and that is, it says that greed is idolatry. Greed is idolatry. Greed is an insatiable desire for more, even to the deprivation of other people. And so I've heard people that asked, very, very wealthy people said, how much money is enough? And that person said $1 more. You know what? That greed factor, it says, I never have enough. I never have enough. I've got to have a little bit more. And really that the motive, the mindset behind a greed is an insecurity with what has been provided for you. It is an unfulfillment of what you already have. Paul said that the solution to that was that he had learned to be content in whatever situation he was, whether he abounded or whether he was abased, whether he had plenty or whether he had just enough. He had learned to be content with whatever God provided for him. See, the devil has always tried to drag idols in. In ancient Israel, there was this constant struggle between idolatry and God worship, Yahweh worship. There was this constant struggle of going back and forth, and it was they kept saying this thing. Well, it's the same thing. We're worship. You will hear it manifest in modern times with sayings like this. Well, it doesn't really matter what you worship as long as you are sincere about it. You know, I could be sincere that I can defy the laws of gravity, but if I step off the roof of my building, I'm going to find otherwise. Even if I sincerely believe that I could defy the laws of gravity, which I don't, I would suddenly find that my sincere belief in a lie would lead to my death and destruction. And so there needs to be a reality. And, you know, Elijah said, we're going to find out today whether Baal is God or whether God is God, whether Asherah is God. It was, there were prophetesses of Asherah there as well. We're going to find out today who is God. Who is God? Now, I will tell you this. God, the Lord God, Jesus, he is the omnipotent God. Today, I am here to contend for the faith. I am not here to contend for God. You see, Gideon, I'll give you the more familiar name, Gideon rose up and destroyed the altar of Baal when God visited him with an angel. And they said this, well, Gideon deserves to die for what he did to this idol. It was a very tolerant society. It sounds very contemporary. And Gideon's father said this, if Baal is God, let Baal contend for him. And if that's the case, then Baal will take care of his own problem. At Elijah, God showed up by fire and the idol worshipers of Baal, they went through all sorts of religious rituals and went to great extents. And, you know, Elijah actually taunted them. I will just tell you this. They said, maybe he's preoccupied. Maybe he's just distracted. Maybe he's not paying attention to you. And so they went to even greater extremes. And you know what Elijah did? He said, I want you to bring some water. Now, you've got to realize that the land had been in famine for 3.5 years. You can watch in California what happens when an area experiences a famine for multiple years. Lakes dry up, water's levels drop. It's devastating to agriculture. So water was a very precious commodity. When Elijah prepared his altar and had them bring water, he said, God, we are going to present you with the most precious and rare commodity that we have. It's absolutely essential for our life, but we're going to present it to you right now. And God showed up by fire. God showed up by fire. I want you to know that God is a great big God, but he will not share his glory with another. He will not share his glory with an idol. In the Old Testament, they drug the Ark of the Covenant, the Philistines did, and they put it in the temple of their idol Dagon. And the next morning, they found Dagon toppled over. The next day, they set Dagon back up, and the next day they came in, and he had toppled over again, and his hands and his were broken off at the threshold. God is holy. God's not just another God. He is God all by himself. He is the only God. And so there has to be, if you are going to be a follower of Jesus, what they said is you have got to, what they wrote to these new believers is you've got to purge the idols from your life. Work can be an idol. Our hobbies can be an idol. I've known families that made their children an idol. Our families, our extended families could be an idol. I want to, you know, and then you've got the icons and other false gods and idols of that nature. Work, money, toys, all of those things, your possessions, your house, your car, all of those things can be idols. And one of the first things that they wrote, these new believers, are make sure you don't have any idols in your life. Father, I just pray right now that you would give us such an awesome vision of who you are, how powerful and holy you are. And Lord, no other idol can compare to you. For you hear, you touch, and you speak with the love only you can give. We thank you and praise you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."